Everyone, thank you for inviting me. I think this is a very, very important message that's in this passage of Romans, and I'm amazed that the Lord trusts all of us to do this because He relies on each of us. And let's just look at this passage briefly before we expound on it. It's in Romans chapter 10. I'm actually going to look at verse 13 because I think it's the link verse that switches over into this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So that's the invitation for us, the instruction for us. The next two verses are a little different. It's going to tell us that not all people are going to welcome the message. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, "Lord, who has believed our report?" So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then we get encouragement again from verses 18 to 21, because God always has a plan B. He relies on us, but if we won't step up, he'll find someone else. And this was really intended for Israel, but Israel rejected the Messiah, as you know. So God turned to the Gentiles, and he selected Paul and sent him to the Gentiles. And that's what this is all about, the rest of the world. I say, have they not heard? He's talking about Israel. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, didn't Israel know? And Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. And he's talking about the Gentiles, because Israel thought they were the favored nation and didn't think that the Gentiles were worth anything. In fact, the Gentiles didn't even know about a Messiah. Israel knew about the Messiah but missed it. And he says in 20, Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. That's the Gentiles. They didn't even know about Jesus. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. But he didn't abandon Israel. And that's the thing that's so wonderful about God. Even when we reject him, he always keeps calling us. And he says in verse 21, to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So God has given us this huge need for missions. There's a crying need for missions. Paul spent a lot of time talking about Jesus, and that tells me that we need to know Jesus, because just knowing God is not enough. A lot of people know about God, but they don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I look at one verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Just think about that. What an awesome responsibility God has put on each of us to tell others about salvation. If you saw someone fall in the river and you had a rope or you had some way of reaching them, you would reach them somehow at a branch. You might even jump in that cold water. But you wouldn't ignore them. When you saw someone dying or drowning, you would reach out to them. Well, this is what this is all about. The world is full of dying people that they're going to die and end up in hell unless they know Jesus. And you might be the only person. I always think of that person, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 8, that the Lord asks, whom shall we send? And Isaiah immediately says, here I am. And I think the word here I am is very important, because it's implying I'm here immediately. I don't have to go and deal with my personal life. I'm here right now. Send me. You know, that's what the Lord wants to hear from each of us today. He wants us. And why do we need you? Well, but you could say, well, why don't they read the scriptures? Why don't they listen to radio, Christian radio? Well, There's that personal contact that we all like. We may have questions, or they may have questions we can answer. We can correct errors in thinking. We can persuade them to commit themselves. And it's very important that we don't delay a commitment. And I'll tell you why in a second. We can warn them of perils, and we can introduce Jesus to them. Remember, we are dealing in Canada with a nation basically, especially of the younger ones, are pagans, because there hasn't been a Bible taught in public school, and unless they're getting it at home, which probably they may not be, we're dealing with people who know nothing about Jesus and maybe have a little bit of folk tales that will totally mislead them. And remember I said, don't delay telling people and getting a commitment to Jesus, because there may not be a tomorrow for you or them. Moody was doing a week's worth of meetings in Chicago. And on the first night, Monday night, he gave a beautiful message, but he didn't call them and have an altar call and a commitment. He thought, there's always tomorrow. Well, that very night, the Chicago fire came. Thousands and thousands of people perished. And he said, I will never, never, never put off a call, because I don't know what tomorrow will bring. And he's absolutely right. I always remember that story, that he blamed himself, that he didn't call them that night and save them before they perished in the fire. You know, because people are ready if someone shows them, and we don't like to be the first or to go alone. We like someone to show us. And Jesus says, the laborers are few, but the harvest is plenty. The fields are ripe or ready for harvest. He says, pray for laborers. That's us. And he's saying, if we pray, don't be surprised if God sends you. So be careful when you pray for laborers, because you may be the laborer. And remember, Jesus called his disciples. He never forced them. And Jesus says, before he returns, the gospel will be preached throughout all the world. And the need for missions is critical in this day and age. The end can come before people are told about Jesus. And the thing is, any of you can witness. I'm not good at witnessing. I can admit that. I am not good at it. I'm too backward or reluctant to force myself on people. But when I get to know them, I can do it. Look at Matthew. When Matthew, the tax collector, was called, that very night, he invited all his tax collector friends. Now, this was a group of people that Jesus wouldn't have had access to. He invites Jesus. And you can be sure that many of those tax collectors accepted Jesus that night. He didn't waste time. And I think there's a lesson for us. That man who was born blind, you might say, well, I don't know how to talk like maybe Rabbi Zacharias. Yeah, you know, he sure knows his stuff. But don't try and be a rabbi. Rabbi's rabbi, and I'm Gene, and you are who you are. Don't try and copy someone else. That man who was born blind in John chapter 9, he was given sight, and he was immediately bombarded with questions and questions and questions about what happened. He says, I don't know, but now I can see. That's all that matters. And you know, that's all that matters. You don't need all the answers. Just tell them how your life has changed, and they'll keep asking you, because curiosity has brought many, many people to Christ. Think of how Philip used an opportunity to reach the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. He's brought there by the Spirit. He's dropped there on the road to Gaza. A chariot comes by, and he hears this man reading Isaiah 53 out aloud about the suffering servant. And Philip runs up to this chariot and says, do you understand what you are reading? And the man says something very deep. You can tell he's quite an intellectual. He says, how can I understand this unless someone tells me or teaches me, and he invites Philip, and they have an impromptu Bible study on the road to Gaza. Well, you know, a lot of things happen on the road to Gaza today, but we haven't heard too much about Bible studies. Okay? Now, we need to seek common ground first with people. You know, I'm not one of these people who goes up to someone, and some of you can do it, and, you know, if you can do it, do it. I can't go up to someone and say, are you saved? I have to get to know them a little bit. I have to kind of establish a little bit of common ground with people. And I start with what they already know, and look at Paul, how he did it. He always started with what they knew and went on to Jesus. Now, the people he talked to in the synagogue were all Old Testament types. They all knew the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. So he always started with what they were familiar with. And then he very quickly switches to Jesus. He starts talking about the crucifixion, the meaning of the crucifixion. He talks about the resurrection and the meaning of the resurrection. He always used those two. He always preached Christ crucified. Very basic, very simple. Even a child could even tell another child about the crucifixion in simple language and about the resurrection. Look at him, Paul, in Athens. He knows that Athens is full of philosophers who talk about religion. So what does he do? Strange city, he walks around, noticing things. Lots to look at in Athens. And then he notices this little marker, whatever it was, to the unknown God. You know, and he uses that as a conversation starter. He goes up to a group of these people, and he says, I noticed that you are very interested in God, and you've covered all the bases. You, just in case you miss one of the gods, you've said about the unknown God. Well, let me tell you about a God you don't know. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And he goes on, and it tells you at the end, many didn't accept him, but some did. And you know, that's the key. You're not going to get them all. If you get one, that's good. And next, you know, and just keep on doing that. Just get one. Just get one. Someone started with you somewhere and told you about Jesus. That's how you knew Jesus. Paul always varied his methods, but not the message. And that's the key here. He says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of people lest the light of Jesus enter their lives. And our job is to remove those blinders and tell them about the light of Jesus. Even in the little book of Jude, it says, don't flatter people or let them continue in error. Influence them, don't let them influence you. And you know, it's so easy to be trapped and influenced by the world. Our friends can do that. Compromise is the tool of the devil. And you know, the other thing to remember in this is don't overlook people you see all the time. There may be someone in a church who goes to church regularly who has no idea really or has a vague idea of Jesus but has no personal relationship with Jesus. They go to church regularly for many reasons, but they've never been asked about their commitment. And sometimes we need to ask them, but how are you going to do that till you get to know them? Okay? Because if you went up to someone you didn't know and said, do you really know Jesus? And they went to church all the time, they'd be insulted. But there is probably a better way to find out. Some people go because their parents always went. Some people go out of habit. Some go for social reasons, business reasons. But they go. But they are like that mixed multitude of people who followed the Israelites out of Egypt and caused all kinds of problems to Moses by their constant grumbling because they had no commitment. They just went along with the Israelites because they thought, well, they seem to be favored by God. Maybe some of this will rub off on us. Well, you know what? You can hang around a Christian forever until you make that commitment. You're not going to get that. You know, it's interesting that The angel that came to the apostles in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 20, says to the apostles, go into the temple and preach to the people there. Now, you would say, that doesn't sound like a great place to go. They already know about God. Yeah, they know God, but they don't know Jesus. And here, they were told to go into the very temple and preach Jesus. And that's where they started. When you really look at the book of Acts, they all went to the temple. They didn't go out and to later to strangers. They went to people they knew in the temple. You know, and some mission fields are not in far-off countries, as we might think, and say, well, I'm not going to go to Africa or some other place. Your mission field might be with your very neighbors, the people you see every day, because all of us have a neighbor, even if they're a couple of miles away. And the other thing is, don't ignore people because they say, well, that's not a very good person to talk to. They look tough to talk to. They look like they're going to bite my head off. They don't look a very good prospect. But you know what? Those are probably the best. I'll just tell you a little thing. One of the nursing homes I go into, more and more of the residents in nursing homes are getting tablet screens and little laptops. Okay, I mean, they're everywhere. So this lady is busy on her little laptop, and one day I tried to talk to her, and she wouldn't even look up. They ignored me. Okay, so the next time I was there, I was going to be leading one of the little services in the home, so I found her, and I was going to walk by because she had rebuffed me. And I didn't this time. I went up to her and said, would you like to come to a church service? She said, sure, and followed me. Now, that was only 2 days later. What happened? I don't know. But she came. So just because they tell you no today, don't ignore them tomorrow. Look at Jonah, Nineveh. I mean, the results he got in Nineveh, in a pagan city, was colossal. He talked maybe 3 or 4 times. He stalked on the streets, but they were ready for the message. And we never know. Look at Rahab the prostitute. Very unlikely. She knew all about God. And she believed in God. Never had been preached to before. All she had heard was these stories from Israel, from Egypt, about the Red Sea, about the plagues, and she believed. Look at Abraham's servant, Eliezer. You might never even think of him as an evangelist. Well, when he went to get a wife for Isaac, he has to talk to Laban. Now, Laban was very much a man of the world. He was probably the hardest person to ever reach for Christ or for God. What does Eliezer tell him? He spoke openly about how God had directed him there, helped him to find a wife, Laban's niece for Isaac. He just talked about what God had done in his life. He didn't talk about who he was. And I think there's the key. Is always talk about what God has done. Don't worry, you know. And look at Joseph. Here he is in prison, and he used his ability to interpret dreams to focus attention on who? On Joseph? No, on God. He gave all the credit to God. And the other thing is, sometimes we get so preoccupied with our own problems that we ignore others. And the story of the 4 lepers in 2 Kings, the city of Jerusalem was besieged by the Syrian army. And these 4 lepers had been kicked out of the city, and they were outside the walls. They couldn't go into the city. And the city was starving. And they said to themselves, it's pretty quiet in that camp. Let's go and see if the Syrians kill us, so be it. We're going to die out here of starvation. They go in there, find the Syrians have all left tons of food. Now, what did they do? Well, they went back into the city to tell the starving thousands about all the food. And I'm thinking of us. We might have to tell people who need the life-giving message of the gospel, who are just starving for it. Now, curiosity is another one that gets people. Look at John Baptist. John Baptist dressed kind of weirdly, ate a lot of weird food that people don't normally eat. But did he lack people coming out of Jerusalem, going all the way down to the Jordan? No. He had a refreshing message. He was kind of different, but they came out of curiosity, and many of them repented, it says. You know, he was an ideal messenger, and I would say he was a wonderful evangelist. So you don't have to conform. You can do what you think is best to reach. Curiosity is always going to open hearts. Now, the other thing is keep it simple. Paul was what I would call a religious theologian. He knew his scriptures inside out. He was a Pharisee's Pharisee. Could have been high priest. Okay. Now, what did he do? When he talked to people, he didn't bury them in theology. He talked to them about, the Holy Spirit guided him, and he talked about the good news of Jesus Christ. He talked about the crucifixion. He talked about the resurrection. It was constantly the same message. And the other thing he did was he took the focus off himself and onto Jesus. He said, I always preach Christ crucified. And I was thinking of three preachers that I was reading about. Three preachers came to be, for the congregation to hear them on three different Sundays in order to choose one of them. First preacher, everybody said, he's got a wonderful message. The second preacher came and they said, what a wonderful preacher. Third preacher came and they said, what a wonderful Savior we have. Now, who would they choose? Obviously the one who pointed to Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's what we must always do, point to Jesus. Now, you're going to find different reactions to Jesus. When you tell about Jesus, you're going to run into either skepticism, doubt, and ridicule. Pretty standard. Or you might run into disbelief or prejudice. You know. Or they might say, I'm afraid to accept Jesus because my family will persecute me. And in some parts of the world, that's India and Pakistan and Middle East, that's certainly very true. And even in Nigeria, especially Nigeria right now, it's very serious. So they might say, I'm afraid to accept Jesus, even in Egypt, lots of places. But another group will grow in faith. That's only one out of four groups of people. But don't go by the numbers. Jesus always went one-on-one with people. He didn't have mass crusades. We don't even call them crusades anymore for obvious reasons, but you know what I mean. He didn't have that. He talked to people, and he always tailored his message to their situation. You know, when you think of it, there were two men beside Jesus on the cross. One rejected him, one accepted him. Okay? So if that happens to Jesus, it's going to happen to us. Four reactions, though, also to the parable of the soils. Think of that famous parable of the soils. People respond according to their readiness. And that's the thing we have to... But we don't have to be responsible for their readiness. The Bible says that no one comes to Jesus unless the Lord puts it in their heart. But our job is just to tell them. The actual accepting of the seed and the growth of the seed is up to God. Because one of the reasons people reject the message is they have hard hearts. Hard hearts like rocks. Can't break through. Other people are very shallow in their beliefs. They get very enthusiastic, but the first bit of trouble, they quit. Or the first bit of criticism. Or ridicule from friends and family. Don't overlook how family can be a very tough nut, as some of you know, to crack. Or they're distracted by the world and life. And of course, there's so many distractions today, thousands of distractions. And the other thing is, the last group are receptive. And Jesus says that the seeds are accepted and they grow 100 times. Now, God always has a plan B. Always remember that. If you fail, there's going to be someone else to tell them about Jesus. But don't say, send Aaron. Don't say, send my brother or my sister or someone else. God has called you and he wants you. You might be the Paul in someone's life to bring them to Christ. Now, you may get a sarcastic response when you think of it in Acts 26, verses 28 to 29. King Agrippa says very sarcastically to Paul, Paul, you almost make me a Christian. Well, I tell you what, you can't be an almost Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. Okay? But did Paul react sarcastically? No. But he spoke loudly enough for all those to hear, and he made a personal appeal to everyone, including King Agrippa. And he felt that a personal appeal to sarcasm could crack a hard heart. Paul was more concerned about the salvation of others than his own pride or comfort. Of all people, he should have had pride, but he didn't. His burning desire was to bring as many as possible to Jesus by all means possible. He was a Jew to Jews. He was a Gentile to Gentiles, that all might be saved. And you notice the word in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, is that all will be saved? No, might be saved. And you always see this conditional thing. John 3:16 implies a condition. It's always a condition of whether we believe enough to accept Christ. Salvation is free to all. In that passage in Romans chapter 10, the verse 13, which was the link verse that linked over to this passage, said, whosoever, that means everybody, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that doesn't mean to say that salvation is guaranteed, but you have to believe first that Jesus is who he is and can do what he says, and then you have to call upon Jesus. So in the heart you believe that Jesus is Savior, but you have with your mouth, we have to say it. We have to say it. Now, a person can receive Christ absolutely alone, but they have to say it in their mouth, even if there's no one to hear except God. They have to actually utter the words. You know, Jesus sent 35 teams in the Gospels in twos to reach people, but he told them to pray for more workers. They were not to do it all by themselves, you know. Too many missionaries today, and I listen to them, seek to do it all themselves. They go to these countries and they ignore local people who might be quite unsavory looking, but who have contacts. And these local people can help them mightily if they will just listen to them and enroll them and get them helping them. You know, I was thinking of that story of Robinson Crusoe. Even Robinson Crusoe let his Friday help him, you know. You know, you might say, well, he had no choice. Well, he didn't have to accept Friday's help. Now, what God wants us to do is to pray for the unsaved and pray for people to join us in telling others about Jesus. It's easy to sit here and hear this message over and over every Sunday. It's easy. But what are you going to do about it? You know, that's the way the rubber hits the road. We have to get out there and do it. Think of somebody that you have been thinking about for a while. They may be as far away as a phone call, or they may be right next door. You might be working with them. You might see them in the store. You might see them somewhere. Maybe a relative. You've tried before, and they've rejected you. Well, you know what? Just keep trying. Even Jesus didn't always succeed with everybody. Not all the people who heard his message accepted him. It has to come from the heart. And the question often asked is, what about those who've never heard about Jesus? We hear that all the time. But you know what? Think of that passage in Acts chapter 10 where God sent Paul to Cornelius or Cornelius to Paul. who sought God but didn't know Jesus. Cornelius was a good man. He prayed. He was praying at noon, which was odd. And he donated money to the synagogues. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, God rewards those who diligently seek him. So there is hope for those. If we seek God, he will send someone to us. But you know, as we kind of wrap this up, don't deny Jesus like Peter did. Don't be someone who is so secretive about your faith that no one knows you're a Christian. Now, you don't have to do it in their face, but they need to know that you're a Christian. Who is your best friend? Jesus Christ. They need to know that. Speak up for what is right. I was with a group of people the other day, and I missed an opportunity because they were going to be making these little meat pies, and they were going to start Sunday morning. And I should have said, well, don't you go to church Sunday morning? You know, I should just have just said that and dropped it and seen what the reaction was. I didn't even say that. But I was convicted after that I missed an opportunity. And you know, you're going to get these sudden opportunities thrown at you, and always have, as it says in one of the letters of Peter, it says, be ready to explain to people gently what the reason for your hope is. Okay? Be able to tell people why you have hope in Jesus Christ. You know, don't be silent about Jesus and your relationship with him. Be like Eliezer and say all the wonderful things that God has done for you. Don't blend into society. It's very easy for us to want to blend in, to be accepted in society. And I was thinking of the Amish people in southern Ontario near Waterloo. One of them was asked, you know, how is it that you can be so different and yet you've got a market here and you're selling your stuff? And he says, you know what? We're in the world, but we're not part of it. You know, and they're really an amazing people. And you probably remember that story where there was in 2006, those little children, 10 or 12 or 20 little ones, were gunned down by a stranger who had lost his mind. And that very day, the Amish people, who had actually lost little children in this horrible shooting, they took food to the family of the man who had done it. Not only that, when that man was buried, they went to his funeral. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how they did it. How could they do it? But they were putting their faith into practice. It's a very simple faith, but they did it. Nobody could understand how they could do it. I don't understand it, but they have the love of God to be able to do it. You know, we don't have to accept our culture's non-Christian values. We're surrounded by it in society. Our government is really non-Christian. Okay? And we have to shine as a Christian in a world that needs the light of Jesus. You know? And how are we going to do that? If you're going to be talking to people about Jesus, I think you have to clean up your own act if it needs cleaning up. I don't know. But we need to live morally and talk morally. We need to be upright and honor Jesus. We need to look for opportunities to share faith with anybody and help people in need. That's one way that we can reach people. They might say, why are you helping me? Well, the reason I help you is because my Savior has helped me. Do you want to hear about the Savior? You know, you have to grab that opportunity. We need to stand for justice when there's unfairness. We need to show love to all. I know that's hard to do. And I think what we need to do is to use our time, our life, our resources to carry out Jesus' desires, not my own. You know, I think of that book, In His Step. Some of you probably have read that book, In His Step. I've just gone back and read it again and underlined a lot of things in it. It's about a pastor who challenges his very wealthy church to ask the question, if they want to, what would Jesus have me do? And we have a newspaper editor who decides to cut out all the violent stories in his paper and not accept ads from organizations that dishonor God. We have a man who's in a high position in the business who realizes that his company has been evading taxes for years by manipulating the laws. So he reports it to the government, he loses his job and has to go back to a very menial job. And his biggest problem was not so much the fact his business friends hated him and made fun of him. His family were the hardest ones. His wife and adult children were mad at him because they lost their place in society and the lifestyle they were used to. So if you're going to follow Jesus, it's going to be a huge thing if you really think about it. And, you know, I give money to many churches and charity, but do I really suffer by giving? Or is it a nice proxy way of sending missionaries because I don't want to go? You know, and I have to ask myself that question. Am I one of those comfortable Christians who can write a check and not feel it, but I'm not hurting? I'm not giving up anything for Jesus, you know. And that's really a challenge for all of us. If you're going to say, what would Jesus have me, what would Jesus do in this situation? He says, take up your cross and follow me. And are we ready to take up that cross? That's really the key about telling people about missions. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this wonderful passage of scripture that you have entrusted to us, the awesome task of telling others about Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, give us strength. Help us to recognize the opportunities as we walk out of this beautiful place today. Do not miss a single opportunity, because there may not be a second chance for somebody. Lord, we may be the only way they will ever hear about Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. Give us strength. Give us wisdom, especially with our family members and our friends, those who know us best. It's easy to tell strangers about Jesus. It's hard to tell those closest to us. But Lord, you will give us the strength because you have given us the mission. In Jesus' name, amen.